I'm so glad that you requested Gatsby. Gatsby is actually one of my all-time favorite books. It's counted, honestly, among my greatest influences. It's one of the books that made me want to write. So, masturbating to it shouldn't be a challenge at all, yeah? I guess, let me get started. Chapter 1. In my younger and more vulnerable years, my father gave me some advice that I've been turning over in my mind ever since. Whenever you feel like criticizing anyone, he told me, just remember all the people in this world haven't had the advantages you've had. He didn't say any more, but we've always been unusually communicative in a reserved way, and I understood that he meant a great deal more than that. In consequence, I'm inclined to reserve all judgment, a habit that has opened up many curious natures to me and also made me the victim of not a few veteran bores. The abnormal mind is quick to detect and attach itself to this quality when it appears in a normal person, and so it came about that in college I was unjustly accused of being a politician because I was privy to the secret griefs of wild, unknown men. Most of the confidences were unsought. Frequently I feigned sleep, preoccupation, or hostile levity when I was realized by some unmistakable sign that an intimate revelation was quivering on the horizon. For the intimate revelations of young men, or at least the terms in which they express them, are usually plagiaristic and marred by obvious suppressions. Reserving judgments is a matter of infinite hope, and I'm still afraid of missing something if I forget that, as my father snobbishly suggested. And I snobbishly repeat, a sense of fundamental decencies is parceled out unequally at birth. And after boasting this way of my tolerance, I come to the admission that it has a limit. Conduct may be founded on the hard rock or the wet marshes, but after a certain point, I don't care what it's founded on. When I came back from the East, the last autumn, I felt that I wanted the world to be in uniform and had a sort of moral attention forever. I wanted more riotous exertions with privileged glimpses into the human heart. Only Gatsby, the man who gives his name to this book, was exempt from my reaction. Gatsby, who represented everything for which I have an unaffected scorn. If personality is an unbroken series of heightened sensitivity to the promises of life, as if he were related to one of those intricate machines that register earthquakes 10,000 miles away, this responsiveness has nothing to do with that flabby impressionability, which is dignified under the name of creative temperament. It was an extraordinary gift for hope, a romantic readiness, such that I have never found in any other person, and which is not likely I shall ever find again. No, Gatsby turned out all right at the end. It was what preyed on Gatsby, what foul dust floated in the wake of his dreams, temporarily closed out my interest in the abortive sorrows and short-winded elations of men. My family have been prominent, well-to-do people in this middle western city for 3 generations. The Carraways are somewhat of a clan. We have a tradition and we're descended from the Dukes of Buccleuch, but the actual founder of my line is my grandfather's brother, who came here in 51, sent a substitute to the Civil War, and started a wholesale hardware business that is my fate to carries on to this, my father carries on to this day. I never saw this great uncle, but I'm supposed to look like him, which special reference to the rather hard-boiled painting that hangs in father's office. I graduated from New Haven in 1915, just a quarter of a century after my father, and a little later I participated in that delayed Teutonic migration known as the Great War. I enjoyed the counter-raid so thoroughly that I came back restless. Instead of being the warm center of the world, the Middle West now seemed like the ragged edge of the universe. So I decided to go east and learn the bond business. Everything I knew was in the bond business, or everyone I knew was in the bond business. So I supposed it could support one move. Oh God, sorry. I suppose that it could support one more single man. All my aunts and uncles talked over it as though they were choosing it prep school for me, and finally said, "Why, yes," with a very grave, hesitant faces. Father agreed to finance me for a year, and after various delays, I came east permanently. Though, in the spring of 22. The practical thing was to find rooms in the city, but it was a warm season, and I had just left a country of wide lawns and friendly trees. So, when a young man at the office suggested that we take a house together in a commuting town, it sounded like a great idea. He found the house a minute from the firm, ordered him. The minute the firm ordered him to Washington, and I went to the country alone. I had a dog, at least I had him for a few days until he ran away, and old Dodge and a Finnish woman who made my bed and cooked breakfast and muttered in Finnish wisdom to herself over the electric stove. He was lonely for a day or so until one morning some man more recently arrived than I stopped me on the road. "How do you get to West Egg Village?" he asked helplessly. I told him, and as I walked on, I was lonely no longer. I was a guide, a pathfinder, an original settler. He had casually conferred on me the freedom of the neighborhood. And so, with the sunshine, through it anyway. Hope you enjoyed it.